all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji for enlightening us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam verses 4.11.31 onwards. Hare Krishna Keshavananda Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association, Prabhuji. We are very fortunate to have you on the call today. Please take over the call, Prabhu.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Is my voice clear? I just wanted to inquire.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. And one more thing. This is the verse 4.11.30 or 31. It's
31.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I'll just start speaking now. I'm going to discuss 4th canto, 11th chapter and 31st verse. And this is Swayambhu Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj to stop fighting. That's the chapter there. Okay, let me just offer my Mangala Chandra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is 4.11.31. Samyaksha Rosham Bhadram Te Pratipam Shreyamsi Paramam Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan Na Gadena Yathamayam. This is Srila Prabhupada writes in the translation and the purport. My dear King, just consider what I have said to you, which will act as a medicinal treatment upon disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune for you. Please follow my instructions. Samyaccha rosham bhadram te pratipam shreyasam paramam param shrutena bhuyasa rajan. Shrutena, by hearing constantly, Srila Prabhupada writes. Agadena yathamayam. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport as follows. I'm going to read the purport. Dhruva Maharaj was a liberated soul, and actually he was not angry with anyone. But because he was a ruler, it was his duty to become angry for some time in order to keep law and order in the state. His brother Uttama was without fault, yet he was killed by one of the Akshas. It was the duty of Dhruva Maharaj to kill offenders because Dhruva was a king. When the challenge came, Dhruva Maharaj fought vehemently and punished Yakshas sufficiently. But the anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. In order that Dhruva, kingly anger not exceed the limit, Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. Dhruva Maharaj could understand the purpose of his grandfather and immediately stopped fighting. The word Shrutena Bhuyasa, by constantly hearing, is very important in this verse. By constantly hearing about devotional service, one can check the force of anger, which is detrimental to the process of devotional service. Srila Parikshit Maharaj said that constant hearing of pastimes of the Lord is a panacea of all material diseases. Everyone therefore should hear about Supreme Personality of Godhead by constantly hearing. By hearing, one can always remain in equilibrium, and thus his progress in spiritual life will not be hampered. By constantly hearing about devotional service. Yeah. Dhruva Maharaj's becoming angry with miscreants was appropriate. There is a short story in this connection about the snake who became a devotee upon instructions by Narad, who instructed him not to bite anymore. Since ordinarily a snake's business is to finally bite other living entities, as a devotee, he was forbidden to do so. Unfortunately, people took advantage of this non-violence on the part of snake, especially the children, who began to throw stones at him. He did not bite anyone, however, because it was instruction of his spiritual master, Narad. He complained. I have given up the bad habit of being innocent living entities, or biting the innocent living entities, but they are mistreating me by throwing stones at me. Yeah, this is interesting. This is an interesting story, which Prabhupada quotes, by the way. Then what happens is Narad Muni instructed him, don't bite, but do not forget to expand your hood as if you were going to bite. Then they will go away. Similarly, a devotee is always non-violent, but is qualified with all good characteristics. But in the common word, when there is a mischief made by others, he should not forget to become angry. This is very interesting instruction, by the way, at least for the time being, in order to drive away the miscreants. So, this is a beautiful verse by Srila Prabhupada, and I think it's very nice to discuss this verse. This is 4, 11, and 31. I just wanted to open in my thing. Okay, fine. So, I'll just offer obeisances and then we can start now. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachar Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschadeshtar. Okay. So, this is Samyat Charosham Bhadram Te Pratipam Shriyam Siparam Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan. Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan Agadena Yathamayam. So, well, it's a beautiful verse, and these are instructions of Swayambhumanu to Dhruva Maharaj. In fact, through Dhruva, Swayambhumanu is trying to instruct us, by the way. We all know that, because Bhagavatam is its instructions to all of us through so many stories and anecdotes and the history of many righteous kings like Dhruva Maharaj. And this is a very beautiful instruction. And Swayambhumanu says, Samyaccha Rosham Bhadram Te. Swayambhumanu says, Samyaccha. Samyaccha, by the way, Samyaccha means just control. Yaccha. Yaccha means Yach. Yach means to ask. By the way, in Sanskrit, yach means to ask, yachati. And samyacha means to fully, we have to fully ask our mind to stop. This is the word samyacha. Samyacha is in the sense of control. We ask other people so many things. We are in a habit of asking. And that's the material disease we have got. In fact, dharma, religious principle, teaches us to give. But we can engage this bad habit of asking in Krishna's service. And how do we engage this habit of asking? Well, you ask your mind to stop. To stop thinking nonsense. To stop being angry. And that's the next word, rosham. Samyaccha rosham. Swayambhumanu said, please my dear Dhruva, control your anger. Ask your mind to stop being angry. Now, the whole point is why? Why he should control his anger? Well, somebody can ask, why? Dhruva Maharaj, he asks, okay, why should I control my anger? That's the whole point. I mean to see, Akshas killed my brother Uttam. And Prabhupada comments in the purport, Uttam was without fault. And yet he was killed by one of the Yaksha. For what reason, Dhruva doesn't know, but he was without fault. And Dhruva said, because I'm a ruler, I'm a Kshatriya, it is my duty to keep law and order in the state. In fact, the foremost duty of Kshatriya is to keep law and order. Just like the foremost duty of Brahmana is to speak truth and establish the principles of truth by his personal conduct and his instructions. Satya. And the foremost duty of a Kshatriya is to keep law and order, to see that those religious principles which are instructed by Brahmanas to see that those principles are not violated and they are followed by people. So that is what Kshatriyas have to do. If you give charity to Kshatriyas, so if you give charity to a Kshatriya, he will not accept it, because accepting charity is the dharma of a Brahmana. He gives charity. That's Kshatriya. He collects taxes, but he gives charity. So Dhruva says, well, the foremost duty is to keep law and order. I'm a king. And I'm Dhruva. I'm blessed by God. And I am appointed by God to rule this world. God specially appointed me to rule this world. I mean to say, so we read in this chapter previously, Vishnu gave him darshan, but he didn't take him back to spiritual world. One of the reasons was he wanted his devotee to rule the world so that religious principles can be established. So, well, the first point is, I'm a king, it's my duty to keep law and order. The second point is, I'm specially appointed by God, and especially Brahmaji, he did Abhishek, and he appointed me as a king. So I have to keep law and order in the state. That's what we have to do. And the point which Prabhupada raises is, to keep law and order in the state, I have to be angry. That's the whole point. I have to be angry. So, because without being angry, you cannot keep law and order. That's the whole point. you can't say to somebody, well, you know, please, you should do this. So I warn that you should not commit this mistake again. This material world doesn't move like that. Prabhupada gives a very nice example for that. Material world, Prabhupada says, devotee is always non-violent. As Dhruva, he had full control on mind. If he didn't have control on mind, how on the earth he would have darshan of Vishnu? He controlled his breath, and he controlled his mind to such an extent that the whole earth was under his control. Space and time was under his control. And demigods were afraid of that. Such a control on mind. And here, Swayambhu Manu is saying, control your anger. Come on, it doesn't make sense, because this instruction is for kids. It is for people like us. Control your anger, and not for Dhruva. And not for Dhruva, who had been in Samadhi and stopped his breath and saw Vishnu face to face. Why Swayambhu Manu on earth, he will say, control your anger? As if he's talking to a child, as if he's talking to a neophyte who has just started chanting and who doesn't know anything. And Dhruva actually argued his case. Dhruva said, why? Well, why? Swayambhu Manu, you're saying, but why? And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a snake. Dhruva gives his own arguments why he should not control his anger, because he's a king, his duty to keep law and order and become angry. And Prabhupada supporting Dhruva, you see the point, Prabhupada supporting Dhruva's argument, he gives an example in this purport. And he gives an example of a snake who actually became a devotee by Narada's instruction, and he stopped biting everyone, and then people were harassing him. But then Narada came again and he said, well, you know what, the point is, you don't bite because devotee is non-violent, but you can become angry. And that's why you can become, you can expand your hood as if you were going to bite and they will go away. You can become angry to save your life. And why you should save your life? Because this life doesn't belong to you. Why this life doesn't belong to you? Because you're a devotee. To save one's life is not the style of a devotee, by the way. No, I mean to say, style of a good man, a dharmic, a religious man, because we are not interested in anything about ourselves. But at the same time, a devotee tries to save his life because his life doesn't belong to him, first of all. His life belongs to Krishna, that is Krishna's property. So in that spirit, we save our lives. So he said, well, save your life. And for serving God, for saving his property, anger is okay. And that's what this Narada recommended him. And Prabhupada comments, a devotee is always non-violent. He is qualified with all good characteristics. But in the common world, in this world, where there is mischief made by others, he should not forget to become angry, at least for the time being, in order to drive away miscreants. Now, that's the whole point of Dhruva. And that's why when Swayambhumanu says, Samyaccha Rosham, Swayambhumanu says, just control your anger. Just ask your mind not to become angry. Then Dhruva raises his argument. And then Swayambhumanu says, Bhadramte. Swayambhumanu says, Bhadramte. So he says, all good fortune unto you. Bhadram means all good fortune. And te means unto you. So why he says? Because he says that, well, yes, I know that you are a Kshatriya and it is valid for you to become angry because you have to keep law and order. But at the same time, this anger should be in some limits. It should be in some limits. If it goes beyond limits, if you are not angry, if you are not using anger, and if you become angry, that's the whole point. A devotee uses anger, but he doesn't become angry. Or in other words, if anger goes onto your head and you go out of control, it happens in fighting. It happens in fighting. If you're fighting and if you're alone, and especially if there are millions of yakshas, there were millions of yakshas fighting against Dhruva. If you're fighting with one person, you know, you can be angry and then you can defeat him and okay, fine, it's over. But there are millions of yakshas and Dhruva is fighting alone and his anger was naturally, it was very natural to go beyond limits because those yakshas were not just ordinary hunters and, you know, they were shooting arrows. They were doing illusions and they were doing so many things. He has to be extremely angry to fight bravely. Because anger supports. Anger brings courage. And anger brings valor. And anger brings force in your fight. And that's how, by the way, Dhruva could fight with them. So that's why Swayambhumanu says, Bhadramte, all good fortune upon you. Well, I know it was a duty as Kshatriya. I'm perfectly fine with that. But now your anger has gone beyond limits. It is increasing unlimitedly. But anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. In order that Dhruva Maharaja's kingly anger not exceed the limit. Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. So that was the whole point. Manu came before things go out of control and it was almost out of control. Manu said, Dhruva, well, so you know the point. Stop it. And by the way, Bhadramte, he says, all good fortune upon you. And by the way, Prabhupada says, Dhruva could immediately understand the purpose of his grandfather and immediately stopped fighting. He stopped fighting. And that's why he says, Bhadram te unto you, all good fortune upon you. By his blessings, Swayambhumanu gave his blessings and his good instructions. And Dhruva could immediately understand the purpose of his grandfather. And he immediately stopped the fighting. The point is, Dhruva could understand the purpose of his instructions. That's a very important line, by the way, Prabhupada writes, the purpose of his grandfather. That's a whole point. We have so many instructions, we have so many blessings, like Swayambhu Manu is giving, so many instructions of Krishna, so many instructions of scriptures. But the point is to understand the purpose. If Dhruva would not have understood the purpose of Swayambhu Manu telling, just control your anger, then if Swayambhu Manu would have said, all good fortune upon you, this particular statement, all good fortune upon you, Dhruva would have taken it as a sarcasm. And he would have thought, well, my God, Swayambhu Manu is saying to control anger, he's stupid. I have to be angry when I'm fighting, and I'm fighting as a Kshatriya to keep law and order. He's stupid, actually. He doesn't know, he's Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu is son of Prajapati Ruchi. So we know by scriptures, Prajapati Ruchi, he himself was a great king. So in fact, he was himself a very righteous person, and the whole lineage was very righteous. Vivasman Manve Praha Bhagavad Gita says like that. So he was in the lineage of Sure Vamsha. And Swayambhu Manu had given laws of dharma, the codes of conduct, Manu Samhita. And now he is saying such a stupid thing to Dhruva. And if Dhruva would have thought, what, he's gone crazy? And now Swayambhu Manu says, okay, all blessings upon you, all fortune upon you. And this statement would have enraged Dhruva. And he would have thought, you know, is he putting sarcasm on me? Is he making fun of me by saying all good fortune upon you? First he's saying, just control your anger, and now he's saying all good fortune upon you. It's crazy. But Dhruva could understand the purpose. That's the whole point. He could understand, he's asking me to control my anger because he understood, first of all, that this anger could go out of control. And not because Dhruva because Dhruva is a bad person or he's influenced by mode of passion, not because of that, but because it is the nature of fighting that sometimes you go beyond limits, especially when you're fighting with such powerful beings as yakshas, which are superhumans. So Swayambhu Manu kindly, so Dhruva saw it as a help from Swayambhu Manu, and also he could understand, Dhruva could understand the purpose of Swayambhu Manu coming was that even Kubera also became angry. So you might have read it before, or it'll come afterwards, whatever, in this chapter. Kubera become angry, and Swayambhu Manu says, well, he's also angry, you know, because you've killed so many millions of yakshas, and Kubera is a king of yakshas. So Kubera is, by the way, a devotee, and it's a whole cosmic by your action. So you might have to go to Kubera and ask his forgiveness also to actually stop this and bring back the cosmic order. He could understand all these things because Dhruva was in connection with God. That's the whole point. The whole point of scriptures is instructions, but the whole point of scriptures is to understand the purpose of those instructions. I mean to say, so many people are reading Bhagavad Gita, so many people are reading Bhagavatam, so many people are reading Prabhupada books. But then what's the purpose of those instructions? That's the whole point. What is the purpose of Krishna instructing, don't give this knowledge to people who envy? Although Krishna says, less austere to envious people, Prabhupada writes in the purport to the verse, devotees and purpose of Krishna's instructions. It's such a beautiful line. Dhruva understood the purpose of his grandfather. And that's the thing. Why the woman who says, Bhadramte, all good fortune. Why all good fortune? Swayambhu says, because Dhruva, you have understood the purpose of my instruction, control your anger. It's not a simple statement, control your anger, especially in your regard. You have understood the whole situation, all good fortune upon you. because you have understood the purpose of instruction. That's the whole point. If we understand the purpose of Krishna's instruction, then we have understood instructions. If we have not understood the purpose, then we are like a blind man trying to read a book. A blind man cannot read a book. That's how we are. If we don't understand the purpose behind the instructions of that book, the purpose of all religious principles, we can read all religious books. So we can read Manu Samhita, we can read Vishwamitra Smriti, we can read Ashwamedha Smriti, we can read Vadhan Smriti, we can read we can read Gautam Smriti, we can read Parashar Smriti, we can keep on reading all these smritis. We can read Puranas, we can read Bhagavatam, but then I mean to say, ultimately, we don't understand that the purpose of all these instructions is to make us selfless. And the highest expression of selflessness, of selflessness, is to do devotion. If we don't understand that, then Shramai Vaikevalam, Bhagavatam says. We have unnecessarily, uselessly labored hard. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Dharma sanishtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasya na utpadya jarati ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, I think 7th or 8th verse. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It's useless waste of labor. That's why Swayambhu Manu says, Bhadram te, all good fortune to you. Because you are intelligent, you are a devotee of Lord. Only a devotee of Lord can understand. Only a devotee of Krishna can understand the purpose of scriptures and the purpose of any instructions given by any saint. That's the Swayambhu Manu who says, Bhadramte, all good fortune. It's Swayambhu Manu is not giving us simple blessings. Oh my child, Ruva, because you are my grandson, so all blessings upon you. It's not like that. It is recorded in Bhagavatam. And when Bhagavatam thing, there has to be a depth in that. So he says, Bhadramte. And then Swayambhu Manu says, okay, Pratipam Shreyasam Param. Swayambhu Manu says, so Dhruva, for example, he asks, fine, so how should I control my anger? I mean to say, now I'm fighting and I'm very angry and my anger is beyond my top because there were millions of yakshas fighting against me. So how should I control? Swayambhu Manu says, okay, Pratipam Shriyasam Param. He says, well, Pratipam means anger is the foremost enemy, first of all. Try to understand that. After lust comes anger. Kam, growth, lobh, moh. Anger is the foremost enemy. Anger is foremost enemy because anger destroys intelligence, just like lust. And when intelligence is destroyed, you are destroyed, that's all. Your soul goes astray because you don't have any intelligence to guide it. Now your charioteer is gone. Intelligence represents the charioteer in the whole scheme of body, mind, soul. From Katha Upanishad, or Prabhupada quotes it in Bhagavad Gita, your charioteer is gone. You meet an accident. That's the foremost enemy. Pratipam means enemy. How to control it? Shreyasam Param. Shreyasam means all goodness. Shreyasam, Shreya and Prayer. Shreya and Prayer. So anger is the foremost enemy of Param, of all goodness. All goodness is destroyed by anger. That's what anger is. Many scriptures speak about anger. Many scriptures says lust is a foremost enemy. Some scripture says greed is a foremost enemy. Some scripture says anger is foremost enemy. According to Swayambhu Manu, he says anger is the foremost enemy of all goodness. All answers are correct. You might ask, okay, which answer is correct? Which is the foremost enemy? Which one should I control first? Well, all answers are correct because all are one. They are not different. That's the whole point. Lust, anger, greed, they are not three different things. They are the same thing present in a different manner. So it's almost like a curtain with three folds. So if you have a curtain, I mean to say, if the curtain is on the side, then you have folds on the curtain. So you might say this curtain has four folds. But those four folds are one because it's the same curtain. That's the whole point. So from lust, love, anger is transformation of lust, by the way. When lust is frustrated, when lust is not satisfied, then comes anger. And when lust is satisfied, then comes greed. So they want the same things. So it's almost in or Shri, all will be destroyed. That's the whole idea. I mean, you
see, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, it's so breaking. I'm sorry, Prabhuji, it's breaking.
It's breaking, now it's coming properly.
Yeah, can you speak, Prabhu, now?
Now it's coming properly?
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we could not hear you. Wait, Vinay.
I'm not clear. Yeah, can you just hold on? I'll just connect it. It's coming. Now my voice is coming properly?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Fine. So the whole point is, do I have to repeat from somewhere or what I mean to say? So where did you lose the contact? Yes, Mataji?
Just the last 1 minute, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, folds of curtain and a greed and anger, I think so.
Fine. So lust, anger, greed, they are like folds of curtain, and they are one and the same thing because when lust is frustrated, we get anger, and when lust is fulfilled, we get greed. So although they look different, but they are same. So that's why if some scripture says lust is foremost enemy, that's correct. If some scripture says greed is foremost enemy, that's correct. If some scripture says anger is foremost enemy, that's equally correct. But the whole point Swami Manu is raising is Pratipam Shriya Samparam. He's saying any of these will destroy all good qualities. And that's the whole point there. People say, well, you know, my mind is disturbed because of lust, anger, greed. My mind is disturbed, so what to do? The whole point is that why lust, anger, greed are bad? Because someone can say, if you ask non-devotees and if you tell them, are you good? They will say, yes, we are good. And they talk of so many good qualities and be good, be compassionate, be this, be that. There's so many people in the world. And they talk of forgiveness and so many things. But the whole point is, it cannot be. They cannot be good because wherever there is lust, anger, greed, it destroys all good qualities. That's the whole point there. And that's the whole point. They are both anti to each other. They are both, one is darkness, another is light. So good qualities cannot remain wherever there is lust, anger, greed. And that's why it's very important. Krishna says in Gita, first try to overcome tamesha, krodesha, rajoguna, samadvava. First try to overcome lust, anger and greed, because you're three gates to hell. And if you don't do that, you will not be able to accumulate good qualities. Shreyasam, Shreya word is used for goodness in scriptures. Shreya. Shreya means benefit. Shreyasa is goodness. And Prayasa is pleasure. That's his word used for. So why Krishna instructs, first you should control anger, lust, greed. Because if they are there, then you will not be able to develop good qualities. And if you're not able to develop good qualities, your mind will not be peaceful and stable to fix upon absolute truth, to achieve samadhi, to enter trance, and to see God face to face. Because without good qualities, you cannot control your mind. It's impossible. You cannot fix your mind on God completely without good qualities. That's not possible. And that is why Krishna speaks of Daivi Sampada in Bhagavad Gita. He says, okay, try to cultivate good qualities in you because these good qualities are favorable for fixing mind on me. And it's common sense. I mean to say, if you have lust, if you have anger, if you have greed, if you don't have compassion in your mind, if you don't have tapasya, simplicity, humility, all these good qualities, tolerance, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu focuses on three good qualities, humility, tolerance, and giving respect to others, especially these three good qualities. If you don't have this, sada, kirtana, hari, you cannot do. And if you cannot always chant, if your mind is disturbed, then you can't fix your mind on God and you can't enter trance and you can't see God face to face. So then the whole problem is, that's why Swayambhu Manu raises this point, Pratibham Shreyasam Param. And from Swayambhu Manu, this kind of statement is very expected, because Swayambhu Manu is the father of religion. He has established religious principles. And he's giving conclusion of all religion here. The conclusion of all religion is to develop, religion is designed to help you develop good qualities. And religion is designed to give a sense to us that these good qualities are destroyed by lust, anger and greed. That's the purpose of religion. And that's why Swayambhu Manu says, Bhadram te, all good fortune upon you, because you understand the purpose of what I am saying. And what I have said in my Manu Samhita. So that's, if anybody asks how can you summarize religious principles? What is religion? Somebody asks. Hinduism, Christianity, Muslim? No. Religion is Pratipam Shreyasam Param. Religion teaches us Shreyasam. Religion teaches us, it helps us to develop all good qualities. Anything which helps you to develop good qualities, which are mentioned in scriptures, that is religion. No matter it may be Hinduism, Christianity, Muslim or whatever. Now this kind of definition is a very universal definition. You can say religion is that which teaches you devotion. That's okay. Because the highest good quality is to devote to Lord. I mean to say, in those, so when Krishna is talking about good qualities, one of the good qualities is adhyatma, be spiritual, isn't it? So the highest good quality is to be spiritual. One of the good qualities is being selfless, the essence of all good qualities. And the highest selflessness is to serve God. So you see, it's all linked. So what is religion? Shreyasam. Shreyasam, religion teaches you how to be Shreya, how to be Shreyasam, to be good, to become Arya. Arya means gentleman. And religion teaches Pratipam Shreyasam Param. The greatest enemy of good qualities are lust, anger, greed. So in two lines, in two words, Swayambhu Manu has summarized religion. Pratipam and Shreyasam. Param. Pratipa means enemy. Religion tells you what's the enemy. And religion tells you what is your wealth. Your wealth is your good qualities. Your enemy which destroys it is lust, anger, greed. Okay, so, well, Dhrumara says, well, I have understood this. And thank you. But then how to overcome lust, anger, greed? That's the whole point. It's not easy. I mean to say it's not easy. It's the most difficult task anybody can demand. How to control lust, anger, greed? That's the whole problem, by the way. That's the whole problem. How to do that? And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, first try to control lust, anger, greed. Come on. That's the whole point. And Krishna says, first try to control lust, anger, greed. In second chapter, third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, first try to do this, then I'm going to instruct you anything else. So, well, so how to do that? That's the whole point. So, that's, Swayambhu Manu says, okay, fine. How to do it? Shrutena bhuyasa rajan. Shrutena means by hearing. Bhuyasa means constantly. You keep on hearing, by hearing about Krishna. Shrutena word means by hearing. But Shrutena also is used very, very technically here because Shrutena can also means by hearing what? By hearing Shrutis. Because the whole point is Shrutis are called Shrutis because they are the books to be heard. They are the books worthy of being heard. Nothing else is worthy of being heard. Shrutis. Shruti means Vedas. Vedas are called Shrutis. Shruti means which are heard. Now, Vedas are called Shrutis because of two reasons. One, because one reason was that previously people used to hear the message of Vedas. Nobody used to write. People used to hear and memorize. And there was a logic why they didn't write. And the logic was, if you write Vedas, then it can be, it can be changed and it can be misinterpreted. But if it is simply heard, then there is a system of hearing and system of speaking by which you cannot alter the message and you cannot alter the Shrutis. So that's the whole point. So that's why Vedas are called Shrutis. Now, Vedas are also called Shrutis because that's one reason. Because when you speak in a particular manner, Vedas are to be spoken in a particular manner. And by speaking in that manner, by using chandas and all these things, so you cannot alter the message. And of course, they were being heard. Why the system of hearing was there, not writing? Because if you write, anybody can steal it, anybody can read it and misinterpret it. But if Guru is telling to a disciple and he's simply hearing and it is being told only to him, then it goes to qualified person. So that's why Vedas are called Shrutis. That's the first reason. And the second reason Vedas are called Shrutis because Prabhupada says in first canto, they are the worthy topics to be heard. They should be heard. They are worthy of being heard. That's all. Shruti Shravena, what's that? So name of Vishnu, so one of the name of Vishnu is in Hare Krishna. So his qualities are to be heard. His qualities are worthy of being hearing. So that's why Swayambhu Manu says Shrutena, you should hear Vedic scriptures. You should hear the glories of Lord which are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, and by that easily you can control lust, anger, greed. In fact, Vyasa Tirtha, he has written a beautiful song. Vyasa Tirtha is a Madhva Sampradaya. He writes a beautiful song So in that song he says, Bhaja Krishnam Smara Harim Jaya Kamam Jaya Krodham Gunalayam. It's a beautiful song. He says, Bhaja Krishnam, please serve Krishna. Smara Harim, please remember Krishna. Why? Jaya Kamam Jaya Krodham. Because by that you can easily conquer lust and the child of lust, anger. And why? By remembering Hari and serving Hari, you can easily conquer lust and anger. Gunalayam, because Krishna is the ocean of all good qualities. All good qualities. Just as lust, anger, greed can destroy good qualities, similarly, good qualities can destroy lust, anger, greed. It's like that. Just as if there is light, there is no darkness. It is both ways. If you give yourself to lust, anger, greed, if you give yourself to devil, all good qualities are destroyed. If you give yourself to goodness, all evil is destroyed. Because evil and goodness cannot stay together. That's the whole point. So, Sambhumanu recommends Shrutena, please hear qualities of Krishna. Bhuyasa, constantly, that's the whole idea. Again and again, constantly. Prabhupada writes in the purport, by constantly hearing. The word Shrutena Bhuyasa means constantly hearing, are very important in this verse. By constantly hearing about devotional service, one can check the force of anger, which is detrimental to the process of devotional service. Prabhupada brings a point of force. Force means vague. Sometimes we don't express our anger, but we are angry from within. That force is coming. And it doesn't allow us to sit and do anything because we are angry from within. Just like Brahma, he was angry on Bhrigumuni and he couldn't control. Lord Shiva, he was angry and he couldn't control. He allowed that force to be expressed in actions. If there's a pressure in pressure cooker and it keeps on increasing, pressure cooker will blast, that's all. So we have to stop enemy when it is becoming strong. If you can stop it at that time, you don't have to face the enemy on the battlefield. It's gone. So that's why he says, Bhuyasa, Prabhupada says, Shrutena Bhuyasa. If you constantly, I mean to say, okay. Well, you can always argue. I'll hear about Krishna every Saturday and then whole week. I don't have time, I don't do that. And every Saturday I'll do that. Isn't it enough? Because you guys say that one time chanting is enough to destroy all sins and control your mind and give you all auspiciousness. So I'll just hear once. Why again and again? No, Shrutena Bhuyasa. This Bhuyasa word, Shrutena Bhuyasa is one of the Vedanta Sutras, one of the Sutra in Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra says Avritti. Vedanta Sutra says again and again. Avritti means again and again. You have to practice. Now, the same thing is commented by Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And on the Sutra, Swayambhu Manu says, Shrutena Bhuyasa. Yeah, again and again you should hear. Why? Because, yes, one time hearing, one time chanting, one time attending a program, well, your anger will be subdued. No problem. If you are becoming very angry, if you go to kirtans, your anger will be subdued. But if you do again and again, the root of anger, the force which produces anger within, the selfishness which produces anger, that is removed. The avidya, that's the whole point which Prabhupada says. That is gone. The force is gone. If there is no force, then no matter whatever circumstances you have in your life, you will not be angry. If there is no force from within, then you don't have to stop something. But if you become angry and if there is force from within, then you have to stop and tolerate. That's the whole point. You might be able to stop it once, twice, but not third time, not fourth. One day you will give way to anger. But if you destroy the force, if you destroy the root, if you destroy the vague, that's Vacho Vegam, Mansa Vegam, Rupa Goswami says, if you destroy that force, everything is gone. Shrutena, that's why constant hearing is required. Constant hearing will wipe off anger and lust from the root, and the root is selfishness. And the root of anger is lust, and the root of lust is selfishness. That will be gone. That we have to deal with. That avidya we have to deal with. That will be over. By constantly hearing our avidya, our forgetfulness of Krishna, that will be destroyed, which is the root cause of all our problems, all our lust and anger. So that needs a constant. Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan Agadena Yathamayam. So Dhruva says, well, is there an example? I want to understand by an example. So Amuna says, yes, my example is Agadena Yathamayam. Agadena means by medicinal treatment. Yatha Amayam. So in Sanskrit, Amayam means disease. Ama is one of the Ayurvedic word. Ama in Ayurveda, just like in Ayurveda, you have Vata, Pitta, Kapha. We have three doshas. When these three doshas go out of balance, then this produces a toxin, a whitish toxin, which is called Ama in our body, which slowly accumulates in our body and then it produces diseases. So the gross cause of any disease is Ama. The subtle cause of disease is Vata, Pitta, Dosha, according to Ayurveda. So Ama, so it says Amayam. Amayam means disease. The whole body will become Amayam, Krishnamayam. Krishnamayam, you see. So Amayam. Amayam. So the whole body will become diseased. And Agadena. So you can treat the disease by Agadena. Agadena means medicinal treatment. This word Agadena. So Agad means medicine or treatment, Agad in Sanskrit. So Agadena, by treatment, just like you can cure diseases, similarly, by hearing, constantly hearing about Lord, you can cure the disease of forgetfulness of God. That's the disease. The disease is not lust, anger, greed. Lust, anger, greed are the symptoms of that disease. That's the whole point. But the disease is forgetfulness of God. That is called avidya. Avidya, which produces lust, anger, greed, or so many faults, so many bad qualities. So just as you can cure disease from its root by medicinal treatment, similarly by constantly hearing, Prabhupada says, important words are constant hearing. By that, your disease root cause is destroyed. And when this disease of forgetfulness of Krishna is destroyed, then you will be able to remember God spontaneously. And once there is no calm, the force of these anger, greed, that will not come. Because now you have God with you. You don't have yourself with you. That's the whole point. You don't have your selfishness with you. And the root cause of is that force comes from selfishness. But now you have destroyed selfishness because now you are servant of God. Because you remember God. By getting over that disease of forgetfulness of Krishna, you always remember Him spontaneously. And you always remember Him spontaneously. You're no longer selfish. You, Shreyasam, and when you can develop good qualities on you, in yourself, then you can fix your mind on the Absolute Truth, and you can enter trance, and you can communicate with God while living in this body, which is called Jivan Mukti. You get liberated. So this is the whole verse which actually summarizes all the religious principles. That's the whole point. And in fact, especially, it summarizes religious principles for us, and also it summarizes religious principles, even for Dhruva, who is a liberated soul, even for him, this verse is equally relevant as it is relevant to all of us. Of course, the understanding of this verse of Dhruva Maharaj, for control your anger, for Dhruva, is from a different perspective. To us, it's from different perspective, but at the same time, the principle holds good for all of us. How to control anger, that also for all of us, and why to control anger, that the reason also holds good for all of us. And that's where Swayambhu Manu instructs, and then he says, please follow my instruction. He requests Rajan, he says, oh my dear king, please follow my instructions, and by following my instructions, all good fortune will be there. Because you understand the purpose of those instructions, and the purpose he has mentioned in this verse. So that's the whole verse there, 4.11.31. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions? I'll like to stop here now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, Anud Pranams. Very, very excellent, beautiful class, Prabhuji. So analytical, and you covered so many points from so many angles. Thank you so much. So my question is, like as in the second chapter, 63rd verse, it says that when anger comes, there is delusion and then bewilderment of memory, and then, you know, the downfall happens there. And I'm so surprised that, and also the quality of anger is once increased, it's going to increase unlimitedly. And Dhruva was able to control at that point and then listen to Swayambhu Manu. So in practical sense, when we get angry, the anger is increasing, what's the way to, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's a multi-million dollar question. You're right, I mean to say. That's a very practical question there. When we are angry and it's out of control, how to do that? And Dhruva could do that because he was a pure devotee and he could understand the purpose and he could stop. But how should we do? That's the whole point. So how to actually check ourselves when it's going beyond the limit? For a weak mind, it doesn't happen because they are carried away by their own reflexes and their own base qualities and their own urges. And they are unable to stop it. So, well, one advice is precaution is better than cure. So that's what advice is. If we take precaution by constant hearing, we'll not come to such a situation. But if suppose we come to such a situation, just like Dhruva came to such a situation, not because of a weak mind, but because he was performing his duty. And it might happen to all of us also, like in management. In temple services, you might have to become angry. Sometimes things go so much haywire that you can get out of control. It's not exactly because of a selfishness and because you're not actually not serving Krishna. You've forgotten Krishna. In fact, you're remembering Krishna and you're becoming angry for service. So it's almost the same situation like Dhruva, what we land up into. But then he's able to stop, control his anger, but we are not able. Now, how to do that? That's the whole question. How to practically do that? And the whole point is, you see the point. I'll tell you how to do that. Now, now you see the point there. To become angry in management is okay. Because, I mean to say, that's what Swayambhu Manu says to Dhruva, and that's what Dhruva argues, and that's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. Well, if something is going wrong, I have to become angry to make it correct. That's okay. That's fine. So you don't have to stop your anger at that point. That's step number one. But the whole problem comes in step number two. And the step number two is, you see something wrong, you become angry. That's okay. But the step number two is, what we do generally is, when we see something wrong, we start actually envying and hating that person and that situation. That's where we go wrong. We start hating, oh, this is going wrong, and that person is useless. And we start hating him, and we start hating the whole situation. And so we get the anger, which is born of selfishness, of hate, which is born of hate. And any anger which is born of hate, you cannot stop it. It's impossible to do that. Because hate is like like ghee to the fire. So any anger born of hate, you cannot stop it because you're adding ghee to your anger. And you can't stop it. It's impossible. So people are coming with water to you with a good advice, please control yourself. But they are putting water on the fire, but you are adding ghee. So you're adding petrol. Well, if you add petrol and if you add water, water cannot do anything. Your fire will go out of control. So that's the whole point. But for a devotee, the whole point is devotee also sees something wrong. Like in management, you can see something wrong. That wrong is wrong, I mean to say. But the whole point is, by seeing the wrong, you don't start hating that situation and that person. Actually, on the other hand, a devotee has compassion for that person. He starts praying for him. Well, Krishna, please guide him. Now, out of his weak mind and out of his confusion, he's doing all these things. He's in illusion, and you are the only friend of fallen peoples like us and like to everyone. And please help him. I pray to you. And when this feeling of shreyasam, that's the whole word there. This feeling of benefit, of doing benefit, of doing kalyan, lok kalyan, of helping that person comes by seeing that fault in a pure devotee. From that feeling of kalyan, of that benefit, then anger comes. You see the whole point there? At that point, anger comes. So that anger is born of feeling of benefit, the feeling of helping that person, the feeling of compassion for that person. And that anger, because it's born of good qualities, it can be stopped by good instructions. Because it is born of good qualities. So it can be stopped by good instructions. An anger which is born of hate, it is born of bad quality, it cannot be stopped by good instructions. That's all. So Dhruva could control it because he was a good man, he was a good devotee. And he was, his anger was not born because of hate. Prabhupada writes in the purport, his anger was born out of dharma, out of following his duty, out of following his duty as a king. And that's why, because his anger was born from a good cause, good instructions could actually control it. But in our case, if our anger is born of a bad cause of hatred for that person or situation, good advice will not work. It will go out of control. You can't do that. There is no technique in the world to control it. People can say, you know, if you become out of control, become angry, then you start counting backwards. Well, it might work once, but it doesn't help anybody. I mean to say, if that technique was so powerful, Krishna would have said in Bhagavad Gita, okay, how to control anger? Start counting backwards. 199, 98, that would have become Sanatan Dharma. But that's not Sanatan Dharma, that's a technique which might work, which might not work, who knows. So the whole point is, if your anger goes out of control, the best thing is start working on the cause. If you're going out of control, then don't start thinking of the other person or the situation. Start thinking about yourself. Start thinking about yourself. And start thinking there's a problem in the cause, and the problem is it's born of hate. So try to convert that hate into love. And how to do that? Start praying for him. Start praying for him. That's the practical solution, and I have applied that, and it works. Many saints have applied that. At that situation, start praying. But then you might say, well, at that situation, it's impossible to pray for that person. That also you forget. So anyway, practice. You have to practice that. So practice praying. I mean to say, we all have to practice praying for others. And if we start practice praying for others, then at that point, we will be able to pray for him. And as soon as we pray for him, the cause of anger will be good, and then it can be stopped by good instructions. Then you will start remembering the instructions of scriptures, and you'll be able to stop your anger by good instructions. Because when people become angry, they remember scriptures. Okay, Krishna says don't be angry, but then in spite of remembering instructions, still we go out of anger, still we go out of control. Why? Because we are trying to apply good instructions without treating the cause, without making it good. Anything born of bad is bad, and you can't change it. A snake is a snake. You can't make a snake into a into a something, a cuckoo. You can't do that. It's a snake. So that's the whole point. So try to work on the cause. And we can start from today. We can all start from today. Pray. That's why Bible says pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. If we practice that, at that point when we will remember scriptures and when somebody will give us good counsel, we'll be able to immediately stop it, either by others' help or by ourselves. It will happen. And I think that's the most practical solution I can offer now, at least. I don't know, is it okay or not? I don't know, but it works.
Yeah, it works, Prabhuji. That's true. Like, you know, when it is out of hatred, it's uncontrollable. But when we pray, then, it's because that's, again, selflessness. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, and our pranams. Thank you for such a beautiful class, for so nicely unpacking the entire verse with every word that was there in the verse, including the purport. It was such a beautiful presentation. Very, very thankful. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much about anger, force of anger, constant hearing, and then answering Mataji's question as well. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Do you still have time for another question?
I think one more question. Yeah, you can ask me.
Okay, this is referring to when you were speaking about Shruti and the fact that that which is heard tends to be immutable, whereas that which is written can be corrupted. And just intuitively, it would have seemed the opposite to me. Because, you know, that which is, let's say, in black and white, you know, you can easily see if there has been changes. But we have experienced that when, for example, a message is relayed from one person to another and then from that person to the next person and so on,
So actually I understand your question. I mean to say... I got your question fully. In ordinary life, you generally document something to actually preserve it because what is said, it can be corrupted very easily. You're right. But as far as Shruti goes, the message of Vedas goes, it is not just heard in an ordinary way. There is a whole system of hearing it, which is called a dhatu part. So anybody who is trained in hearing the Vedas and speaking the Vedas, if you are trained, because you are not trained and you don't know the system, that system of speaking, so what's happening? So that system of speaking, dhatu part, that by that system, you cannot even change a single comma. A single space you cannot change. So that system is so perfect that documents can change, printed words can change, but that cannot change. And that's why traditionally Vedas have been preserved for eternally by that system. So the whole confusion is you are thinking of hearing as an ordinary hearing, but that's not ordinary hearing. There is a technical system of nyasa, of dhatu part, of krama part, and all these things. I cannot explain you on this phone, but if you go on net, so you just surf it, dhatu part, krama part, how to read Vedas, and you can easily understand nobody can change it. That system of speaking, because speaking has the advantage of syllables which you are hearing in a particular annotation. So when you're writing, you don't know the emphasis on that word because you have written. I mean to say, you can say go to hell, but then speaking you can say go to hell. There's a difference. So there are a lot of advantages in speaking, and there are breaks and their whole system. So in that technical sense, it cannot be changed. And you will realize the importance of this once you see on net how Vedas are encoded by speaking and hearing. then you will understand. Otherwise, it's not by intuition. You'll never understand this. You have to read that and see that on the net or meet
a person. Yeah. Okay. So where are you directing me to get further information on this? What should I look up actually? What is that thing I should look up on the net?
So you can go to Google and you can type Dhatu Paath.
How do you spell that?
Dhatu means D-H-A-T-U, Dhatu Paath.
D-H-A-T-U,
Dhatu, Dhatu, and then Paath is P-A-T-H.
Uh-huh.
Or instead of that, you can type system of reading Vedas. You can write that also.
System of reading Vedas.
Yeah. System of reading or system of hearing Vedas. You can write system of hearing Vedas. It'll come.
Because you know, if this hearing process is so uncorruptible, then how is it that the Krishna has to come every yuga because
That's the whole point. Prabhupada says in the purport, the message is there but the purpose is lost. And that is why Swayambhu Manu says, because you have understood the purpose, that's why all good fortune to you. That's why he particularly says all good fortune. Message is always there, message is never corrupted, message is the same. But the purpose is corrupted. And that's why Krishna has to come, prophets have to come, saints have to come, sadhus have to come, rishis have to come to again and again establish the purpose.
Yeah.
That's
the point. Okay, so now I'm having this trouble distinguishing between the message you say is uncorruptible, but the purpose of the message is corruptible? You mean?
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the purpose of the message is corruptible. For example, Vedas are the same. Like I'll give example. For example, there are certain philosophers called as Nyayik philosophers.
Yes.
And then we are also philosophers who are called as Mimamsa, who read Vedanta.
Uh-huh.
So both read Vedas, but then both have a different interpretation of Vedas. Both have a different understanding of the purpose of the Vedas. So for Nyaya people, the purpose of Vedas is liberation. But for us, the purpose of Vedas is love of God. It's not liberation. So then there are points like this. So they change the purpose, although the text is same. That's why so many philosophies are there. The text is same, but that's why so many philosophies are there, because of their different understanding of the purpose from the text, the interpretation is very different. And that's why they screw up the whole message, and that's why Vyasadeva had to come and then establish the purpose using the same text.
So you say purpose, but by purpose you mean interpretation, the meaning.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Meaning, it's the same thing. Meaning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu. Thank you.
Okay, Jai Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Prabhu, is this audible?
Yeah, it's audible. Who is this?
Okay, Krishna Prabhu. I love your lecture so much, Prabhu, and I regularly hear your lecture series. And Prabhu, I had one small question, Prabhu, that why do not put the Shankar Chakra Gada symbols on our body, Prabhu? As we are also comes from the Madhvacharya's line only. Because my friend asked me, why don't you put Shankar Chakra, but only you put the Uja Pundra. And it's so important. Because what should I answer to him? And I also don't know why like that. Can you kindly answer this to him?
Okay, So from where are you speaking? You're speaking from where? Can I just ask you? And
I'm from Karnataka, Prabhu. Prashant, I'm speaking Prashant. I'm from Karnataka.
Okay. So that's why you're raising this point of Madhva. Oh, now I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, fine. So your question is, why don't we put Shankha Gadha Padma Chakra on our body? And in fact, that's mentioned in scriptures. Sanatana Goswami mentions in Hari Bhakti Vilas, in our Gaudiya tradition, that Shankha Gadha Padma Chakra, that's those signs, can be put on the body, and that's very auspicious. In fact, when anybody is initiated, especially in Madhva Sampradaya, so according to the Vedic or according to the Panchratrik Vidhi, whatever they use, they put this Shankh Chakra Gada Padma, that symbol.
Yeah,
of,
by the hot iron they put, Prabhu.
Yeah, by the hot iron. But then we don't do. Why? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes an article on that, and he explains why don't we do. Because when Mahaprabhu came, Mahaprabhu is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings that point, and he says he's the most merciful, and he thought, and in his mercy he thought, why to give pain to the devotee? That's what he thought, because it's a hot iron. So he changed it to Urdhva Pundra, because he couldn't see pain to be given to devotees. And that's why he just changed it to Urdhva Pundra, which is also, in fact, a system in Panchratra. It is not speculation. It is also said in Panchratra. There is an option whether you have to put or not. It's not must. You can also put Urdhva Pundra instead of that. So instead of that, we put Urdhva Pundra. And that's all. So it compensates for that. That's all.
Oh. Is there any any internet link or any book on this, Prabhu?
It is mentioned in one of the articles of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Gaudiya magazine, and I don't know whether that's translated in English or not. I have no idea. But it's there in one of the articles.
Oh, okay, Prabhu. Thank you. And I love your lectures so much, Prabhu. I regularly hear your lectures also. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, it's so you. Gladly to hear your voice.
Thank you,
Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so I think probably we can end here. Mataji,
yeah, Prabhu. Beautiful class, question answer session. So beautiful, we are making today. Hare Krishna. All the Vaishnavas who are available on the call. Vancha Kalpa Sarup, yes.
Thank you.